This evening, we're picking up where we left off last time, last Wednesday night, in the book of Proverbs. We're picking up in chapter 10, so let's navigate our Bibles and our devices to Proverbs chapter 10. Lord willing, we'll cover two chapters tonight, and the message is entitled, Wise Words to Live By. Now, many of you know that the first nine chapters of Proverbs are actually a series of short sermons, about 15 in all. Five of them, one-third of them, are warnings about the perils of adultery, but the rest are about avoiding bad company, seek after knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, stay on the straight and narrow, and consider consequences and conduct your life accordingly. These are proverbs that Solomon had written to his son or sons and his children, wanting them to live wisely and not foolishly. The wise person considers the consequences of his or her choices, whereas the fool is only interested in pleasing themselves right here, right now. If it feels good, do it. The heart wants what the heart wants is another foolish statement, and you can't help who or what you fall in love with. That's another foolish statement. People that are led by their emotions, well, Solomon would say that's foolishness. That's foolish living. Got to be led by what's true, and God's word is truth. Well, we covered the first nine chapters. Now we come to the next section of Proverbs, which are short statements that were drawn from long experiences. In this section, we will see a few different forms of Jewish poetry used. One of them is that of contrasts, where Solomon will say, this is good, but that is bad. The wise person does this, but the foolish person does that. It's good to do this, but it's bad to do that. So these contrasts, trying to teach his sons and you and me about doing what's good in order that we might be blessed. So verse 1 of chapter 10, we read the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a father glad. That's my boy. But a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Maybe the dad would say at that point of the foolish son, well, do you know what your son has done? Kind of disowning him. And the mother really feels the pain. Now, obviously, a mother is glad when her child is wise, and obviously a father is also grieved when the child is foolish. But I think one of the things that Solomon is trying to convey to his sons and his daughters, no doubt, is that children wield great power over their parents. And if a child is wise and good, it makes the parents feel good, makes them glad. But if the child is foolish and wayward, man, that just cuts a parent to the heart. And so Solomon is telling the kids, you know, you need to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Understand, yes, you do have great power over our hearts, over our emotions, but also, son, daughter, one day you'll answer to God. And so be careful that you're doing what's right. Make us proud. Make us glad that you're our kids. Verse 2, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death, especially in the life to come. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 16, verse 26, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his own soul? So you see wicked people out there making tons and tons of money, and you and I are thinking, well, why can't that be me? Hey, don't be jealous of them. Consider their end. And consider your end. Let them have the world today. If they don't want Jesus, because this is as close to heaven as they're going to get. But keep in mind, brothers and sisters, this is as close to hell as it's ever going to get for us. Good things are in store for us. Things out of this world in store for you and me. Verse 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desires of the wicked. other words, God provides for his people something Solomon's father recognized, King David in Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young, now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. God takes care of his kids. Verse 4, he who has a slack hand, the lazy guy, becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Simply put, God won't bless lazy. God won't bless lazy. Verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. Yeah, it's hot out there and I'm sweating. Yeah, but you're wise if you're out there working and gathering. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Now, this phrase, violence covers the mouth of the wicked, you can read it in several different translations and you can read several different commentaries, and it's a little difficult, really, to interpret. Simply put, very simply put, righteous living leads to blessing. Diligence and righteous living leads to blessings, but wicked people, particularly the violent, whether they're trying to conceal their violence or whether they're trying to talk a lot about violence, they're going to suffer. Verse 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Now, consider how many kids today are named Ahab or Jezebel or Judas. Not too many of them. Or Adolf, even, or Benedict, or whatnot. Not too many. The name of the wicked will rot, and certainly it has. You know, you and I, we carry two things in life with us, our name and our word. If we are men and women of our word, we will have a good name. But if we are not to be trusted, if we do not keep our word, then our name is mud and our name will rot. Verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commands. A wise person's teachable. But a prating fool will fall. Prating means, I had to look it up. It means to talk excessively and pointlessly. And the prating fool will indeed fall, come to ruin. Somebody who's wasting time with their words. Instead of getting to work, they just want to sit around and talk about anything and everything. You know, social media. The prating fool that's there. Verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. What is done in secret will be revealed. He who winks with the eye causes trouble. This is speaking of that shifty con man, the giving the signals to other nefarious people, the wink, wink, nod, nod, nudge, nudge. And then he says, but the prating fool will fall. This is the second time in just a couple few verses that Solomon has warned against prating, about talking excessively and pointlessly. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. If you know somebody who's righteous, then listen to what they have to say. You will be blessed by them. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. It could be that a wicked person reveals their wicked heart by the amount of violent things they like to talk about. But ultimately, stay away from them. And instead, hang out with those who speak about righteous things. Verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. That word cover there is from the Hebrew word kafar, in which it spoke of what the sacrifices on the altar did for the sins of the person. Our sins were covered. David writes about that. How happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Under the Old Testament law, the best that the Jews could hope for was that their sins would be covered for a time, the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and whatnot. But when that person went out and sinned again, they'd have to come back and repeat the process all over again. And the Holy Spirit, through the penman of Hebrews, writes about that it wasn't possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Because if those sacrifices could take away a person's sin, then they would never have needed to sacrifice again. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't merely cover your sins, but he cleanses them? It's a different word, a different meaning. Your sins, past, present, even future, are cleansed. You have no spot of sin whatsoever, no stain on you whatsoever, simply because you believe in Jesus. Not only does he cleanse your sins and forgives your sins, but guess what? He also forgets that you've ever sinned. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Wow. Now, do you remember your sins? I remember my sins. And sometimes I when those thoughts come to my mind, the past stupid things I've done, I cringe. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why was I so dumb? And then I want to ask God to forgive me. You know that thing I did years and years ago, Lord? And I'm so sorry about that. And the Lord says, well, what? I don't remember. Oh, come on. Of course I remember. Well, the Lord says, your sins and your lawless deeds, I remember no more. Wow. Aren't you glad? Somebody should say amen to that. Well, he's done that for us, right? We just read it. Now, we are to do that for other people. In fact, Sunday morning, we're going to look at the prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples, the Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In that, there's a line, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's the only part of the prayer that Jesus gave commentary on. Right at the end of that model prayer, after he teaches us to pray, for yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, both now and forever, amen. He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive yours. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. According to Jesus, forgiving another is the difference between heaven and hell. And we'll deal more with that Sunday. But the point being is, if God has forgiven our sins that were far and away worse than what anybody has ever done to us, should we not therefore be willing to forgive the sins of others and to do the very best we can to forget what they've done? But praise the Lord, he forgets my sins, your sins. He remembers them no more. Verse 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. They've received information. They've tucked that information in their mind. They understand how that stuff works out. And now they're wise. They're able to walk in those things. But a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Apparently, just some people need a beating. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of foolish is near destruction. You know, the sad thing about the fool is because they don't consider the consequences, they have no idea that their destruction is near. No idea. Verse 15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. Does this mean that God wants every one of us to be rich? No, that's not what he's saying. But the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Here, Solomon is not making a doctrinal declaration. What he is doing, though, is making an observation that rich people trust in their riches, and poor people do suffer due to poverty. But Solomon will also recognize often that neither riches nor poverty have any influence on eternal things. In Proverbs 11, verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Verse 11, the labor of the righteous leads to life, but the wages of the wicked to sin. When a wicked person sins, they receive wages. They get what they deserve. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life. So you're teachable, correctable, and you're walking according to those things. That is the way of life. But he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. There's people that are just haters, and they will hide their hatred with their lying lips. And whoever spreads slander, says, is a fool. Hiding hatred would be saying bad things about someone, but peppering it with words of Christian ease, like, that guy is as dumb as an ox, bless his heart. Or, let me share with you about so-and-so so that you can pray more effectively for them. Saying negative things about somebody, slander behind their back, God says, that's the thing that fools do. Don't be a fool. Say nice things about people behind their backs. And if somebody needs to be corrected, go to that person. Go talk with them. Verse 19. This is a stern warning for ministers. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Years ago, one of my junior high teachers told me, God gave you two ears and one mouth. He was trying to tell you something. He also said, you know, when you talk with someone, try to say fewer words than they do. Which was a nice way of him saying, John, shut up and listen to people. The more you talk, the more trouble you get yourself into. And that's true. Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Again, fools don't consider the consequences of their choices, nor do they want to listen to wise people who would warn them about the consequences. They just want what they want right now. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, sometimes God blesses a person with extra money, and it is a great blessing. But then there are some people who are wealthy, but yet they're miserable because it wasn't God who gave them that money. It was some other thing. And whenever wealth is accrued that is not from God, there are always strings attached. So beware of the get-rich-quick schemes. Beware of those things. There's always strings attached. Verse 23, to do evil is like sport to a fool. A foolish person wants to do evil. But a man of understanding has wisdom. Now the fear of the wicked will come upon him. You know, wicked people are afraid about getting caught, and rightly so, because they will get caught and punished. No wicked person will ever go unpunished. In this life, maybe. People commit crimes because, for now, many times crime does pay. And people can get away with things. The Bible even warns that Because a sentence is not carried out quickly, people are emboldened to do evil. But make no mistake about it, one day every person will face the judge of the universe, and the wicked will be held accountable, and it will not go well for them. So they will be caught and punished one day. The desire of the righteous, verse 24, will be granted. God promises that he will work things out well for us. And notice in verse 25, one of the ways that he works out things well for us, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. They're just swept away. But the righteous has an everlasting foundation. You know, trouble comes to everybody. Death comes to us all. But the righteous will stand in the end. Even Job said, though he slay me, yet shall he trust him, because when my flesh is destroyed, with my eyes I will see God. And you know, some of you young people, you don't understand, but let me tell you, the older you get, the more you see your flesh being destroyed. And we give the Lord our all, we give the Lord our everything, but sometimes he comes for us in pieces at a time. There's one older pastor that I know of who said, you know, I've lost so much of my body, I have more of me in heaven than I still do have here on this earth. It's just the way of it. But we're going to stand forever. So when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked will be no more, but we will have an everlasting foundation. Verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth. Apparently, I've never tried this. But from what I've heard, if you take some vinegar and you swish it around in your mouth, especially if you might have a little bit of a cavity, oh, it'll hurt. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. I love to grill in my backyard. Except for when the wind is blowing the smoke into my eyes. That can be painful. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Simply put, lazy people are irritating. You want to get work done and people don't want to. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. You know why? Because he who fears the Lord will live forever, whereas the wicked are going to die forever. The hope of the righteous will be gladness. You're trusting Jesus, even if you have a hard life now. The moment you step into eternity, oh, how glad you will be. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. Again, people might get away with things today, but not before God. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will also reap. The righteous will never be removed. I love that. But the wicked will not inhabit the earth. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And if we serve the Lord today in the little things, he promises one day to make us ruler over much. When Jesus returns at the end of the seven-year tribulation, which I'm thinking will be about 7 years from now, in my opinion, I believe that Jesus is coming back any moment to rapture the church. Then we have the 7-year-long marriage feast of the Lamb, where we, his bride, will be with him. And during that time, 7 years of God's wrath on the earth. At the end of that time, according to Revelation chapter 19, he returns with us, the cloud of heavens, to establish his kingdom over the earth. There will be some who survive the tribulation, who, those survivors who did not receive the mark of the beast, and they will be allowed into the Lord's millennial kingdom. They'll still be in their natural bodies. You and I are going to be granted places in the Lord's kingdom to rule over, to co-reign with him over certain places and certain people, tribulation survivors. Faithful in the few things now, the Lord promises we will be ruler over much then. He didn't say if you're successful now, then you'll be successful then. No, he said faithful. Just faithful to do what God has given you to do today for him and for his kingdom. Even if it seems super insignificant, if you were doing your all in that which you think might be very insignificant, oh, it's very significant to the Lord. And he promises he will make you ruler over much. Exactly what that will be, I don't know. But it's going to be good. It's going to be really, really good. The wicked will not inhabit the earth. Oh, can't you wait for the day? Can't wait for the day when sin is done away with, when Satan is bound for 1,000 years during that millennial kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus, and truth and righteousness will reign from sea to sea. Time that Isaiah talks about the wolf laying down with the lamb, the bear eating straw like the ox. They shall not hurt in his kingdom. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. Oh, come quickly, Jesus. Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. So the people that casually go around in the filth and the foul and whatever, they're going to pay. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Why? Because as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when filth and foul comes out, it's because they're putting the filth and the foul within. Proverbs 11, more of Solomon's wise sayings. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. God is just and fair, and he expects his people to be so also. When pride comes, then comes shame. Isn't it odd how the culture in which we live celebrates pride? Sexual pride, success pride. It's like the secular music industry is based on pride, promoting oneself. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. It's wise to be humble. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. We referred to that earlier. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. So if you're trying to be right by God and do what's right by man, then you're on the right path. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus warned, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Whatever you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Later on in Proverbs, we'll read, whoever covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall find mercy. So we can come clean before God now and before people now, and we'll be fine. But if we keep holding on to these things, keep covering them up, keep saying, oh, it's no big deal, don't be surprised if the Lord makes it known. He loves us too much to allow us to continue to do and say and think things that are going to somehow, some way hinder us in our relationship with Him. He loves us too much to allow us to do that stuff. Verse 7, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish. All his hopes are gone then. And the hope of the unjust perish. But the righteous is delivered from trouble. It comes to the wicked instead. Again, as we read, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Now the hypocrite, with his mouth, destroys his neighbor. The hypocrite is one who says one thing, but yet in his heart is completely different. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When the truth is known, those who are righteous will be exonerated. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. Kind of like that old song, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Yay, they're dead. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Wicked words work ruin. And if you're a Navy, if you've been in the Navy or currently are in the Navy, loose lips do what? Sink ships. That's right. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. So if you hate your neighbor, Solomon is saying to his sons, if you hate your neighbor, it's because you have no wisdom. You're a fool. But a man of understanding holds his peace. Doesn't lay into his neighbor. If I'm at odds with my neighbor, I might think that it is my responsibility to set them straight. But surprisingly, not many people like to be put in their place. Have you noticed that? Not too many people like to be set straight. Now, a wise person will hold his peace. Not try to put another in their place, but trust that the Holy Spirit will be the Holy Spirit. That's tough. You know, when God begins to work a sense of awakening, a revival in you, you get excited about the things of God. It's kind of easy to notice others who aren't. You're getting on fire for God, and it's like, wow, this is, Lord, I love you. I'm so excited. My sins are forgiven. I feel great, and you're using me. But what about them? Why aren't they stepping up? What's wrong with them? Why are they still going to watch those things and listen to? What's wrong with them, God? I know. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to confront them. I'm going to rebuke them. Be careful. Who was it that got you straightened out? It's the Holy Spirit. Can we not trust the Holy Spirit to do that in the lives of others? Because if I come into another person's life, guns a-blazing, they're going to resent me. It's not going to go well. I have found that I am a lousy Holy Spirit. I'm not good at that. There's only one Holy Spirit, and it ain't me. And when He begins to work in my life, I just need to sit back and trust that God will do that same work in other people's lives. Man of understanding holds his peace. Verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets. That's what talebearers do. They tell secrets about other people. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You know, the Bible has much to say about gossip, even if it's couched in Christian ease. But the bottom line is, God forbids gossip. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. Nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Why can't I go about as a talebearer? Because God says so. That's the reason He gives. I'm the Lord. Don't be a talebearer. Verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. You know, the person who feels he or she doesn't need help or instruction, they're going to fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He who is surety cosigns for a stranger will suffer. But one who hates being surety is secure. So stay away from cosigning. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. And by the way, that's not a good thing. A ruthless, cruel, fierce man may amass a big bank account, but at the ultimate price to his soul. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The cruel person troubles their flesh in that they are going to suffer forever in the lake of fire. Now, the wicked man does deceptive work. You ever tried to hire somebody and they're so-called professionals and they come out, oh, I got y'all fixed up, and you find out they left a lot undone? That's the wicked man. They don't care. They just want their money. But he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Again, whatever man sows, that shall he reap. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. And out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. But the blameless in their ways are his delight. Now, though they join forces, if the wicked people join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. But the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. This next one's kind of funny. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, a ring of gold in a pig's nose, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. So a lovely woman, a pretty gal who is of low moral character is like jewelry on a pig. Verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and he gives us the desires of our heart, because our hearts are going to want to desire godly things. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. What can the wicked expect? God's wrath. Now, there is one who scatters, and he's going to talk here about generosity. One who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. In the New Testament, Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't give because you feel you have to, and don't give if you're going to be grumpy about it. For God loves a cheerful giver. Well, if God loves a cheerful giver, I wonder, what does God feel about a stingy miser? I don't know. He loves a cheerful giver. How does he feel about those? We know that he doesn't like a grumpy giver. He doesn't like one who feels compelled to give, but how does he feel about those who are stingy misers? Well, back here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. I can't afford to give. I hear, you know, sometimes people might think, I can't afford to tithe. Really? Why not? The one area that God tells us to test him in is in giving. Put me to the test, he says, and see if I don't open up for you windows of heaven, giving you much more than what you could ever, than what you ever would have had you held on to everything. Now, in the next few verses, Solomon will emphasize this point, that God blesses those who use their money to bless others, those that are cheerful givers. Notice in verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters, means giving money to help others out, will also be watered himself. You know, God shovels it in and we shovel it out, and wow, his shovel's a lot bigger than ours. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. You're looking for trouble? You're going to find it. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like katsu, the vine that ate the south. You and I, we will flourish, the righteous will. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be a servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. One of the wisest things we can do with our time, our talent, and our treasure is to go tell people about Jesus. Go tell others about Jesus. You win a soul, you're wise. Wise enough to realize that it's not about this life, it's about the next. Wise enough to realize that Jesus is the difference between heaven and hell. And there are people out there that we know that don't know him. And should they die, they will spend eternity in hell. I'd like to suggest that if you aren't doing so already, you just pick somebody that you know that does not know Jesus. And starting today, diligently begin praying for them, for their salvation. And pray for yourself that God will give you boldness to one day sit down with them. Invite them out for a cup of coffee or something. And just sit down with them and say, you know, we need to talk about eternal things. He who wins souls is wise. Verse 31, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, eventually, God is going to bless us, even on this side, the abundant life here and now, and especially eternal life by and by. If God's going to bless us on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? They're going to get what they deserve. It may seem like the wicked are winning the day. The godlessness is the rule of today. But soon and very soon, our King will come. And then he will right every wrong. Make no mistake about it. Father, thank you for your word tonight, these wise sayings for us to live by. Lord, there's so many different topics here, and we could have taken each one and devoted a whole night of a further study on it, but then we'd be in Proverbs for another 5 years. Lord, I pray that we would reread through these things and take them to heart and hide them in our hearts and live them out, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your great wisdom that you've given to us. And Lord, I do pray right now you would put on each of our hearts a name, somebody that we know that does not yet know you. And right now, Lord, we begin to pray for them. We pray, Lord, that whatever it is, that whatever reason they might have for resisting you, that you would break that down, you would pull that wall down, that wall that is separating them from you. Whatever that sin is, Lord, that they are holding on to, Lord, will you expose it for what it is? And Lord, you would give us the boldness at the right time to go and talk to them about their eternal soul and where they're going to spend eternity and how you are willing to receive them and forgive them and forget all their sins, just like you did for us, if they would just repent and believe. And so, Lord, right now we begin that process, praying for that person. Make us wise. Help us to win souls. And once those people are won, then put another person on our mind, that we would win the whole world one person at a time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night.